We continue to travel through Luke's gospel. And today we have a really important story. As Pat read for us this morning, we are faced with a story about boundaries, about places where we are at intersections, about where we walk the seam, if you will. And maybe you didn't catch it, so I want to help us tease that out. We heard in the reading about the border between Samaria and Judea, right? That's where Jesus was traveling along that border. We heard about a border between wellness and illness, about those who were lepers and those who were traveling around their area. We heard about borders between returning and going on. The one Samaritan who was healed realized and turned around in gratitude to go back to God in Jesus. And the other nine kept going on their way. And we heard about the border between gratitude and self-centeredness. There are many more in this, but I just want to look at those today. And first, I want to talk a little bit, give a little bit of background history, if you will, about that border between Samaria and Judea. Samaria was located along the Galilee to the north, and it once comprised the northern Israelite tribes who separated from Judah in the 10th century before Christ. And they separated to establish a rival monarchy. 2 centuries later, these northern tribes were conquered by the Assyrian Empire, and they were transported around Mesopotamia, and other conquered peoples from Mesopotamia were brought into their land. So in this place, the cultures were interwoven and they intermarried over centuries. The Hebrew people saw this as ethnic compromising of the already alienated branches of Jacob's family tree. In other words, they had already broken away, and now they were just adding insult to the injury by what they were doing in this place. Over the centuries, the Samaritans developed their own religious traditions, and they emphasized devotion to the Torah, the 5 first books of the Hebrew Bible by Moses. And also, they developed an affiliation with the sanctuary on Mount Gerizim, which was located near Shechem. In the 2nd century before Christ, much of the Galilee, including much of this area, converted to Judaism, meaning that it recognized the Jewish temple in Jerusalem as the proper place to worship. 128 years before the arrival of Jesus, the rivalry turned violent when Judeans destroyed the Samaritan sanctuary on Mount Gerizim. And in Jesus' day, hostility towards Samaritans was still strong enough that Galilean pilgrims that were going to Jerusalem went around Samaria instead of going through that territory. Samaritans in the time of Jesus were viewed as lesser thans or just unclean themselves when spoken of in pious Jewish circles. So in hearing of Jesus' story today, his travels, understand the Jews of his day would hear Samaritan leper as redundant. That's really what they were feeling in about these people to the north. We find that there are borders between illness and wellness in today's story. At the beginning of his ministry, you may remember that Jesus extended his ministry beyond the boundaries of his hometown. As a matter of fact, in his hometown, we hear in Luke 4, Jesus reminds the assembled, there were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman, the Syrian. It was to remind them that these separations still existed and they were doing nothing about it. And in response, Jesus' townspeople sought to throw Jesus over a cliff for being so arrogant. It can be difficult to accept the welcoming, cleansing ways of God. And the Jews turned away those who they perceived as unclean. They were enforcing a segregation. And in the time of Jesus, if you were ill, if you were a leper, if you were cursed in this way, that's really how they viewed it, you were forced to leave your home, your town, and go to the outskirts of that town or city and live among others who were ill. That's where you lived. And if you were lucky, maybe you had family that would bring you food from time to time or come and shout to you from a distance because they wouldn't come into the scene between illness and health. So while this story shows the physical illness in the border zone, Jesus is also pointing out that spiritual illness is no less a border zone in the kingdom of God. Whoever are God's people, and Jesus shows to this story that includes all, are shown mercy, as demonstrated through Elisha and through Jesus. They seem considerably more generous, Elisha and Jesus do, in dispensing mercy and healing than the Jews of Jesus' day were, or dare I say, we may be today as well. There's also the border between returning and continuing. Please understand that this theme of returning and praising is one of the core themes in Luke's gospel. Some of the examples are at Jesus' birth, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. Luke 2. After witnessing Jesus' ascension, in the last two verses of Luke's gospel, the disciples worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Return and praise are the foundation of Luke's gospel. And they suggest a roadmap for our response to God's activity in the world. The passage that Pat read for us this morning ended with a command to the Samaritan, get up, in Greek, arise, and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. When it appears in Luke and Acts, the phrase, get up and go, suggests a significant, even wondrous change is about to occur. After the Annunciation, for example, Mary gets up and goes to Elizabeth. from the first chapter of Luke. The prodigal son decides to get up and go back to his father, Luke 15. And in Acts chapter 9 and 10, God tells Paul to get up and go to Damascus. But in each of these cases, there has been first a desire within the heart to return and to praise. Returning and praising, it seems, are requirements before we are told to arise and go in the name of Jesus. Do you see that? There's a pattern here repeatedly throughout Luke's gospel of allowing ourselves to return to God, to praise God from the core of our being. Before God says, now, arise and go in my name. There are also borders in today's story between gratitude and self-centeredness. The biggest example of this is, of course, how many were healed? 10. How many went back to thank Jesus and praise him? 1. That means the 90% went on their merry way, didn't they? Just went on. Jesus had sent them to the priests to prove the power of God in cleaning them of their disease. And they went on their way, and only one of them stopped and said, wow. Wow. I have to go back and thank God for this. And isn't that the case for us as well? The Samaritan's understanding that he needed to thank Jesus the Christ and to glorify God is the manifestation of the faith that made him well. And this often seems easiest for the people who have needed and received the most from Jesus, the ones who are otherwise ignored or scorned or untouched. Worship, you see, is all about gratitude. Real, heartfelt gratitude. In the 16th century, Martin Luther was asked to describe the true nature of worship. And Luther replied, true worship? It's the 10th leopard turning back. The 10th leopard turning back. That's real worship. Returning to the one who has given us healing and mercy and love and peace. Why? Because we are compelled by gratitude to do so. Where do we experience borders between regions and peoples in our lives? Are those borders commercial, residential perhaps, economic, racial, political? Do we use this seam between spaces as a place to segregate or as a place to encounter other beloved children of God? Do we yell across borders at each other? Or do we find ways to reach to each other across them? And in doing so, heal everyone concerned. Do we view those who differ from us as others? as those who are relegated to there, wherever that may be? Or do we see them as brothers and sisters who we need to figure out how to reach and love in the name of Jesus Christ? And where do we experience borders between spiritual wellness and illness? Honestly, I think this is the one that receives far too little attention within churches and from pulpits. Do we turn away from those who are suffering from spiritual illnesses? Spiritual illness. Much the way that the Jews of Jesus' day turned away and shunned those who were suffering from physical illness. Do we offer accompaniment and God's healing to those in spiritual turmoil? Or do we cross to the other side of the road and walk by, ignoring them? Do we complain and run when those who are spiritually ill venture into our midst, seeking peace and healing from the same God we believe in? Where do we experience borders between returning and going? Do we acknowledge that God is the great physician of our souls, and our peace, our wholeness, and our healing are all through God's mercy and grace? And do we note when we are blessed? Remember that 1 out of 10 leper took a moment to realize how blessed he had been by his encounter with Master Jesus, and then could respond in gratitude. Could it be the other 9 just didn't care? Oh, I'm clean. Okay, I can get on with my life. Let's go. Instead of taking time to give thanks to the one who made it possible. Do we, as we look at this boundary, this seam between gratitude and self-centeredness, do we throw ourselves before Jesus' feet, wherever his feet may be? Remember, that leper turned around and went back to where Jesus was. Do we go to where Jesus is and throw ourselves at his feet? Or do we try to tell Jesus where we will or won't encounter him to ensure that the place where we meet Jesus is to our liking, to our comfort? Do we really view worship as running back to God in pure and complete gratitude for all that God has done for us over the past days? Is that how we view worship? Being all about God and very little about us? Or do we make worship pleasing to us instead of understanding that God is blessing us everywhere, at all times, and we should be reaching out to God in gratitude in all places and at all times? Brothers and sisters, this week, I invite you to reflect on the various borders, the various seams that exist in your life and within our community. I invite you to earnestly note God's blessing in your life. Take time, as that one leper did, to stop and say, "My God, I'm clean. And then from that, return to God again and again and again in true praise and thanksgiving. Joyfully, then, as God moves you to get up and to get going into the world that so desperately needs mercy and healing and peace and love. And when you go after having arisen and full of gratitude gone into the world, you will be doing it in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who saves and loves you and gives your lives new meaning and purpose. Amen. Amen. This morning, as I did at our earlier service, I'm going to emphasize the message of gratitude out of this chapter from Luke. We come to this time of offering. We come to this time where we provide a small part of what God gives to us back for God's work. And we do that for many reasons. But this morning, I want to ask you something. And as I said earlier, Kathy, we may only get $10 out of this, but I'm doing it anyway. If you cannot give with true gratitude in your heart for the blessings that God has given you, I want you to sit on your money. I really mean it. Because how we give, why we give, is more important than what we give. And if you can reach into your heart and in thanksgiving for what God has done for you in your life, for your family, for all that you know, then give joyfully and give with deep gratitude. Your prayers, your presence, your gift, your service, and your witness. And today, if you can't do it, let that money burn a hole in your pocket until you feel the gratitude for the one who has saved you and made you and walks with you each day. Amen. Amen.